in all of time, in all of history, man has never created one single living cell. Yet your body does that millions to billions of times a day. That's where I put my faith. So I try to encourage people. I want them to know that, listen, that there's a doctor 24/7 on the clock, making chemicals, making hormones, detoxing you. So yeah, compared to the smartest person you know or the greatest doctor you think, I'm just saying that level of intelligence is laughable compared to the wisdom that is in you right now, animating you so you can even hear me say this. If I can help you understand the magnificence of the body that God gave you, your fear of disease drops significantly. Your fear of a fever drops significantly because you realize that you're designed to heal. So I'm Dr. Ben Rall. Welcome to Designed to Heal.
Welcome back to Designed to Heal. I am Jeff here with Dr. Ben Rall. And buddy, we've got a guest on the line today, a repeat guest. It is true of us that we can actually get people to come back on this show. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, Today we have one of those as such. So what do we got going on, man?
Well, we do. We have a great guest. And many people that are our Florida listeners will remember our guest today, Chief Stephen Davis. He was the Orange County fire chief that was fired, let go, however we want to say that, for not enforcing the vaccine, illegal, unethical vaccine mandates in Orange County. And so we had him on right in the midst of that. There were certain things he, you know, couldn't say at the time because there's, matter of fact, there's still lawsuits going on. So we're not even going to be talking a ton about that today. But this is a little bit of where are they now? Because I think what you've seen happen with, you know, post-COVID world, it's like, man, what happened to some of these people that fought the fight and stood up? You know, did they land on their feet? Are they okay? Did, you know, did they win? Did they lose? What happened thing? And so Stephen, he also has recently wrote a book, which is I'm really excited about. I love books, but just telling this story and continuing to tell this story. And so we're honored and excited to have Mr. Chief Davis with us today. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Thank you for having me. Well, glad to be back once again. And I think the audio is a little better this time because I'm in with my own equipment. I'm not sitting here walking around on the streets of Indianapolis.
I think you were, you were at a fire conference or something, still doing the thing. So yeah, why don't you, you know, what you do is do this maybe. Give us a little bit of your backstory for the people that haven't heard that first show, okay? Because that's been a couple of years. And then we'll talk about kind of where are you now. So if you don't mind just giving us what you still can share about your story, and then we'll dive in.
So real quick, I was a battalion chief with Orange County Fire Rescue in Orange County, Florida. I was coming back from a day of vacation right in the midst of the mandates from the Orange County Mayor, Jerry Demings. And essentially what had happened, he had put a mandate in July of 2021 that on October 1, every Orange County employee was required to be vaccinated. And if you did not comply with the order, you were to be terminated. 400 or 500 of the firefighters in Orange County stood up against that mandate. And essentially what we did, we were able to back him down. So now they weren't terminating us. They were only giving us reprimands, written reprimands. Now, if you know anything about reprimands in the government agency, that can and will affect promotions. Mm. That can and will affect if you transfer rights, things like that. So when I came back from my vacation, I recognized that a list was created of people that they wanted to discipline. And I was given an order, a direct order, to discipline these individuals for failing to comply with the order. And the order was get vaccinated. There was two other options. You could get medical exemptions and you could get religious exemptions. On the list, I recognized there was over 100 names. On the list, I recognized many people who had in fact gotten religious exemptions, who had in fact gotten medical exemptions. There were people on the list who turned in a vaccination card and I saw it. So I saw something, I said something. And when I brought it to my supervisor, they said, write them up, let them grieve it later. And I refused to do that. And because I refused to follow this direct order, they suspended me with pay, put me on administrative leave. And then 2 weeks later, they terminated my employment. I've been in with Orange County for 15 and a half years. I was the youngest battalion chief at the time. I was the fastest moving battalion chief to that position at the time. I was very heavily involved with Orange County. I was in their media. I was the guy that they would go to for public speaking. I was the guy that they were go to for camera. to say, hey, look, here's our dive team. I started the dive team. I enhanced the paramedic program. I was very heavily involved. I refused to give these disciplines, not just because I was protecting my people. That had a lot to do with it, because I knew that it was wrong. I knew that this was unlawful. But I was also doing it to protect the brand. So if you're committed to an organization, if you are a person who believes in that organization, you want to do what's best and what's right for the organization. So you don't want the name to be tarnished. Mm. And what I saw was something not only going to affect my guys, but it was also going to affect my company, my organization, the agency that I had put so much time and effort into.
This wasn't going to look good. Like you're looking at it going, yeah, this is going to stink. And in the future, it's going to be a real embarrassment when, you know, if we go along with this. And you knew better. And am I remembering this right, Stephen? You were also military. Am I remembering that right?
Yes, sir.
So you are no stranger to following orders and understanding the chain of command and what that looks like. And you didn't take this decision lightly. You're not willy-nilly rogue guy. You're a team player. You want to do what's right. So I just want our listeners to understand, obviously, you're 15 and a half years there, you know, but also pre that, you know, and this was really a career that you had longed to have and fought hard to have. And I'm sure you understood right. Some of the implications of standing. You knew that disobeying an order wasn't going to be a big deal, I should say, right? You knew that was going to
be. Sure. And ironically, I'm the only one in my chain of command. I was the only one that had served in the military. So it's kind of ironic that they would teach me how to follow direct orders, follow what orders were, because I was the only one in the military. I was the only one in my position that had served their country outside of the fire department. And so what's funny about that is they're saying you failed to follow a direct order. But what they failed to realize is that a policy was in play by their own doing that gave me direction that allowed me to disobey law policy. And that rule, I believe, is Rule 33 and Rule 35. It says disobedience of unlawful orders. Mm. And how I use this analogy, if I'm a lieutenant and you're a firefighter, we go into a burning building and the homeowners are no longer there. And they're maybe they're coming from the north, and they've decided to go back up north for the time being. They're not there. And I see a brand new TV on the wall, and I say to you, hey, firefighter, go get that TV. We're going to take it back to the station. That would be theft. That would be an unlawful order. But I'm in your chain of command, and I'm giving you a direct order. So the policy essentially is, if you recognize that there is an ordinance, a statute, a federal law, a law that is unlawful, if you believe it to be unlawful, is how it's written, then you have the right and you have the responsibility to disobey it. And as I was using that rule to my advantage to say, look, I'm disobeying what I believe to be an unlawful order, and you guys are still forcing me to do this.
Yeah.
And we've proven that. I mean, we're 2 years later,
yeah.
3 years later. What is it? 2024?
Yeah. Jeez.
3 years later.
So I know there's still some ongoing litigation. We don't have to go too far deep in that, but you're pursuing it. You're doing your due diligence. You're trying to, you know, you got your legal team. You got a very high end legal team, you know, as big as it gets, helping you on this. Then you also, am I remembering right, Stephen, you were with another police, you know, department for a while, or fire department for a while, and you were in that. I know you've kind of transitioned out of that. If you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing, just for our listeners, you know, if you feel comfortable, and then we want to talk about your book.
Yeah, sure. So, I essentially worked at another agency. I got a job within 13 days, a job with a promotion. I went from a battalion chief to a division chief. I was third in command with the Lake County Fire Rescue. Mm. I worked there for a year and a half. I had a great time. I had a great people that I worked with and worked for. But I also recognized that while working there, it's the same environment. It's the same environment. I had a director come in and tell me when he first got picked up there to say, look, I don't want you to talk about elected officials anymore. I don't want you to go after them anymore because I'm still fighting this fight with Orange County 2 years later, 3 years later. I'm still fighting the fight, and I was asked to not be public with it. And then I was being told that you can't do this anymore. So in a position that I held, now I'm being once again handcuffed, and I refuse to to go through my day-to-day life knowing that there are people in this world that are corrupt. There are people in this world that want to see you fail. There are people in this world that want to get ahead but don't want to give you an ounce of any type of that success. And I recognized that I needed to step away from the fire service. I'd been in this industry for over 22, 23 years, and I had made a decision last summer in June of 23, to go ahead and walk away from the fire department. I'm doing far better now. I've been able to walk away from what I thought was the only thing that I was capable of doing, and that was my biggest mistake. I'm not just a fireman. I am more than that. And that's, if anything I could tell your listeners is that—
And you don't mean that derogatory towards firemen. I know you're proud of being a fireman.
No, by all means. That's not a derogatory response. But what I'm saying to people is the only thing that I believed I could do was be a fireman. I did not believe that there was anything else for me. And I don't mean that to be, saying that to be derogatory, but if you believe in yourself, you can move mountains 100%. And I believe that was my calling in a chapter of my life that God wanted me to have, but it wasn't the doors that he had opened that he really wanted me to be at. I constantly said from the termination day that my plan was to work in Orange County for 25, 30 years. Well, that was my plan. It wasn't God's plan. Mm-hmm. God's plan was for me to go to Lake County, and he gave me Lake County for closure. He didn't give me Lake County to go retire there. He gave me Lake County because he needed me to see that this was only just some place to get closure so you can build on yourself some more. And why I say that is because I was ripped out of a passionate career. Mm-hmm. I love being in Orange County. I love being a firefighter. To this day, I still love the fire service. However, mm-hmm. I know it's not where I'm supposed to be. But because I was ripped out, I never got that closure. Lake County gave me that closure. It allowed me to have a really successful time there. It allowed me to see the true colors of where I was and where I wanted to be. And so I just made the decision to walk away. I walked away with my head held high. I have a company called the Raising Alphas Project.
Yeah.
And we focus on the next generation of leaders, not followers. We're engaging with parents. We're engaging with young men and women to show that there's more value, to teach them things that you and I as young men never learn, things that our school system have never learned. And what I mean by that is, did you ever learn while earning your doctorate? Did you ever learn while going through all your formal education, how to do your taxes, how to build a business, how to be an entrepreneur, how to do a checkbook? Now there's QuickBooks. Now there's, you know, stuff. We're doing podcasts. How did you learn how to podcast? Was it through education? No. So that's kind of the formal instruction that we are giving at Raising Alphas, and that's what we're trying to instill. We also want our parents to be more engaged. We want our parents to understand that they have to take time to be involved with their children's lives. They can't just put them on an iPad all day and let them sit there and not develop them, you know, teaching them skills. We just did a show a week ago with the 2A boys. Keith Davis is our guest. And he's taking his kids out of school. He and his wife homeschool them, and they teach them about working on the prop, working on the yard. Mm. You know, they work, they do 2A boys. So they're advocates in the 2A world. I'm looking at a 10-year-old and a 15-year-old that can handle a firearm better than I can. And I've been around firearms before they were born, long before they were born. And they're handling firearms with skill and mastery. It's insane. And that's essentially where I've been. I'm at right now.
So, Stephen, I want to talk about that for a second, because you know you're a dad, I'm a dad, and Jeff is a dad here, and you know we're living in interesting times. It's just the bottom line, right? I mean, the reason that we're having this conversation is because of part of that story. And I know you and I want to talk about it as we go here, that you've written a book that will be coming out hopefully soon, and one of many books that will be coming out. But I do want to talk about that, because what you said is true, right? I met him even when I was in chiropractic school. Even though most chiropractors end up having their own business, Like I had one business class, right? And it didn't teach me any of what you said. I had to learn that and kind of by the failing forward and the school of hard knocks and making mistakes. But I feel, and even though we're a homeschool family and Jeff's a homeschool, man, the world that we are now needing to prepare our kids for is different. And the skills that they need are different. And it's not going to happen in the traditional indoctrination that is our school system right now. And I'm saying that knowing some people might be forced or feel forced to be part of that system, but you still have to, like to your point, you have those other times with them, whether it's in the evenings or the weekends. Like, so this Raising Alphas, that's a podcast. I know there's a lot of exciting things you can't quite talk about with that happening. It's continuing to grow and getting on different platforms, but it's a podcast for right now that they can log into and listen to you guys, right? Can you just tell us a little bit more about that and maybe your philosophy, a little more of your philosophy on that?
Yeah, so I can talk about the Raising Alphas project. It's a great company. My partner, David, and I, we started it about almost 2 years ago. We started with a T-shirt that said Raising Alphas. We walked around the Save Our Generation conference. Where That's where you and I met. We walked in. They gave us a table. We didn't pay for one. We were just walking around as two guys with a box from Lowe's, that I was just carrying behind me or wheeling behind me. And we had T-shirts in it from all sizes, for ladies and for men. And you'd be surprised, you know, how many people resonated with our message. And we didn't actually at the time know that it was a message until we started getting, we just thought it was a T-shirt at the time, you know, a cool saying. But we both had the same stance, the same belief about our kids, because we had been silenced during COVID. We had been silenced and watched our kids be forced to do things that we did not want to see.
Yeah.
And that's not right. And so Raising Alphas in this last 2 years, especially in the last 6 months, we have grown farther than anything I've ever seen. And now it's not big numbers on YouTube, but we do have a podcast on YouTube, Rumble, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find it on all of that. We have Instagram, Facebook. We're on TikTok. So we're all on the socials, so you can find us in a bunch of different things. Now we're hitting some pretty big numbers. Today I looked at our most recent episode. Highest numbers we've ever found, 17,000 views. Now, awesome. I know that doesn't sound like a lot in the YouTube world, but for someone who had only 300 followers less than 6 months ago in October, I only had 300 followers. I'm up to almost 13,000 followers and 17,000 views. I mean, to me, that's huge.
Awesome.
And I mean, I know that YouTubers, it takes years for them to get established, and we've been doing it for less than two. And so I know that God has a plan for us to get this message across the nation. We want to build our community. And what we've done is we've made contacts with people around the state, around the country that resonate with this message, because we have to protect our children. Our children are the ones that are going to be fighting these wars in front of us. And if they don't have good family values, good moral values, then who is going to stand up for their children? Who is going to stand up for them? You know, that's why we got to speak now.
So, and I couldn't agree more. And I don't want to say that I struggle. There was a season, Stephen, where I probably did, because it's as I almost had to grieve a little bit of what my kiddos are going to have to go into, right? You know, I have a daughter, and I'm like, man, I wish that the world she's heading into as an adult was a little different than it is, right? And so, but it's not. And so I had to just reconcile that, right? And just be like, all right, I got to equip her to handle what's ahead of her. Not from a fear-based perspective. I don't mean like that. I'm not afraid. I'm saying just prepare, right? And know we're in a crazy election year and all the things that are going on. And I think that we'd be ignorant to not be more prepared for that. But tell our listeners about your book, because the thing when I think about you, and I remember the first interview I saw of you on TV, and then I think we were at the Tallahassee together at the Capitol one time, and just like there was a fearlessness, or what appears to be a fearlessness, that you, it's almost like you're more afraid not to talk, right? Like you staying silent is worse, right? It's the same thing with the order. Just so you have, and I resonate with that. So now to write this book, it's almost like you're not going to stop me from talking. You're not going to shut me up. Not as a jerk, not out there to, you know, bowl in a china shop, but we need to be able to share truth. We need to be able to share perspective. And so tell us about this book that has been on your heart to write. And I know you're just about ready to go get published now.
So the worst thing that Orange County could have done is gotten rid of me. they could have easily kept the chains around my feet and arms and then on my mouth and had my mouth zip tied had they kept me on payroll. When they released me, they opened Pandora's box. And everything everybody told me from day one is to stay silent. My union told me to be quiet. The department that just fired me told me to be quiet. All my friends, not all my friends, but a lot of my friends were like, hey, man, just stay cool. Check. Don't say anything. They want the silent majority to stay silent. And I'm irritated as hell to know that we still use that term today, the silent majority. There's no such thing as a silent majority that gets anything done. If you're not out there talking, if you're not out there being loud, obnoxious, nothing's going to get done. And that's why this podcast exists. That's why I talk as much as I can. I'm writing a book because I'm exposing the truth. I was alone in the fire is the name of the book. I'm sorry. Alone in the fire is the name of the book. I was alone in the fire making a decision. And I'm going to tell, it's a tell-all, expose-all with Orange County and what they've done. It's called Alone in the Fire, First Alarm, because my intent is to have second and third alarms, and that's a play on firefighter terminology. But it's to have second and third alarm books coming out not far after the one that I'm writing today. I started it about 2 years ago, but I didn't have the time and I didn't have the finances. Now I've been able to hire a publisher, and I've been working with Choice Publications for the last couple months, and we are on track to publish Alone in the Fire, First Alarm on June 1st. And the marketing is going to start. We're starting to market it now. It is a book that says what Orange County has done. It exposes the truth, the emails, the public records, the assistant chiefs who hid evidence against the whole thing. It talks about all of this. It calls them out. And I think that this is important. Why? Because I can go and write a blog. I can go write something on whatever website I want to. It could get shut down. Our conversation on YouTube could get shut down from everything I'm saying. But you know what lasts forever? Books. If I can sell a million books of Alone in the Fire, that's a million people that have read the book. Not to mention how many people have downloaded the audio, how many people have passed that book on to somebody else. I want to be able to sell a million copies to get the message out. And if I can do that, I can tell you right now, people will know what has happened. People will know that Orange County is corrupt, and they'll start looking into their own local governments, because what people don't do is we don't hold them accountable. We stay complacent. Firemen that I used to work with are complacent today, and it's because they're getting their paycheck every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They're just thinking all they are is a firefighter. And that's why I go back to that right there is I'm not just a fireman. I'm more than that. And while I love the profession and I did it as hard as I could and I loved it as much as I did, and I had a huge passion for it. It's not the only thing that I'm put here on this world to do. And I want others to know that and recognize that. But you have to hold these governments accountable. There are policies in place in Orange County right now that would allow them to implement another mandate. And with the right governor, with the right mayor, they can do it. Fortunately, Governor DeSantis was here. Right. Had it been somebody else, that mandate would have taken over the state. We would have all been vaccinated. Look where we would be today. Where would we be today?
Yeah, and I think with people that are listening to this, I had a guy yesterday. He's a behind the scenes guy for a lot of big campaigns and campaign management, and I don't know all that he does, but he's just a big behind the scenes guy. And we were talking about this because he was just up in DC, and he goes, and I said, I just asked him, I said, how important are local governments? How important is the local government? And he just laughed at me. He's like, it's the only thing that really matters. Like, if you really want to make a difference, he's like, people get excited about the presidential because they get excited about it. It matters. But he's like, if the day to day, the stuff that affects your life, your children's lives, your business, it's all local. Right. And he, and it was like, and so in that we can get our arms around, right? We're seeing, of course, a resurgence in people trying to go after school, get on school boards now because they're seeing what was being taught in the schools. And again, and I think we feel the same way about this, Stephen, but maybe give your thoughts to it. You know, COVID, the quote, disease or infection or whatever, COVID's not over. And I'm not talking about the virus or whatever. I'm talking about the mentality that happens to people. And I think there's this false sense of security right now that people are having because they're like, oh, hey, we're good. So part of me bringing you back on was not like, hey, isn't it great? Steven's doing good. You know, like, where is he? Where are you now? VH1 Milli Vanilli documentary or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I want people to see you're in the fight more than ever. You're in the fight more than ever,
yeah.
Right? Like you haven't gone soft. You didn't sail off into the sunset. You didn't get some big settlement and go do your thing. You're grinding. I mean, that was our conversation this morning. I mean, you had privately,
right.
You're in the grind more than you've ever been. It almost woke a giant in you. And that is not
an alpha.
Yeah. And that's something that isn't just for you. Right. And I mean that as a compliment, right? It's not just, oh, hey, great. Good for you, Steve. I'm glad you found a new thing to do. This isn't everybody. And they actually want you to stay quiet. They want you to cash your check, go home. You know, I grew up as a son of a fireman too. And I remember that, you know, my dad worked 24 on, right? And the reason I always remember that part was because if I got in trouble when he was gone, it bought me a little time, you know, right? When I did something stupid that day.
So true.
Then he had a couple.
When your dad gets home.
Yeah, when your dad gets home. And I was like, I'll be gone when my dad gets home. You know, I knew what time he got home. I knew how to do it. But. And then, you know, they got a couple days off and then there was certainly some firemen that had side hustles, you know, right? That was part of it. But I saw a lot of firemen that it was like, and this is going to come out wrong for any of our people that listen like this, but I also saw a lot that it wasn't real great for their lifestyle. I know that I know it's hard on marriages, right? I know it's hard on, I mean, there's
a high divorce rate
because you can get a level of apathy in that, right? Like just, you know, you coast for 2 days, some bad lifestyle things. I mean, firemen were notoriously unhealthy for so long. People can't see you're on video. I mean, you're a jacked brother. I mean, people can see, you know, you obviously take care of your health and you believe in that. Not just because you want to be fit, because it's part of being productive. It's part of doing what God's plan is for our lives. We got to be well to be able to pull that off. So, I mean, anything you want to say to that, Steven?
Yeah, I got a couple points that you brought up, and I'll touch on the most recent that you just talked about. You just being fit. I've always been a thin guy. Always been pretty decent shape. Never like as big as I am today. And I've been really hitting it hard the last few years because I had a shift in my mind to get fit because I saw myself when my youngest was born. I'd gotten up to 250 pounds, and I'm sitting at 215 right now. But I am solid. I'm in the best shape I've ever been. Like you mentioned, I'm jacked. You know, it's taken a lot of hard work to get there. It's consistency. And I fell in the trap of being in a firefighting profession. Firefighters eat like crap. We have poor sleep cycles because we're up all night. That hurts you. The cortisol levels, you constantly get hit with those cortisol in your body, and that's dangerous. And that's why so many firemen have deaths early on after retirement. I recognize those things. We eat a bunch of sugary foods. We drink a lot of caffeinated drinks, whether it's Monsters, whether it's Bangs, whether it's whatever it is. It's bad for you guys. And you know, those are things that I've recognized over the years, not to mention, or I should mention, this is the one factor that probably plays the biggest, is the biggest element of it all, is what do they see in a career? Now, we could talk about the military guys where they've been to World Wars and they've been through conflicts and they've seen their closest friends killed in action. Well, what about the firefighters that have seen day in, day out, every single day of their career, traumatic injuries, horrific scenes. You know, I don't want to go into specifics, but I've seen some very, very things that are haunting for any person. And I've got to live with that for my life. Now you add all the other stressors. What does that do to a person? Why is the divorce rate so high in that profession? And not just the fire service, but that's law enforcement, military. The list goes on and on. But when you see these things and then you just start to hit it one after one after one, it really takes a toll on people's day-to-day lives. And I believe that it's starting to get more attention. It was one thing that I talked a lot about when I still worked for Orange County, because when I was still there, that my last year in Orange County, we had 4 firefighters take their life in Orange County. I mean, within a 4 to 5 month period, We had another one just take his life about a year ago. So a total of five firefighters in Orange County have taken their lives. And what is that doing to our community and the fire service? I mean, I haven't done the numbers across the country, but that's just one thing. You talk about local community. That's the other point I'll make is you talk about local elections, local governments. Right now here in Orange County, we have a mayor who's still sitting in place that put these mandates in place. He's got them still in place, and he still has a lot of influence over other municipalities. Mm. I saw firsthand him close down public parks, school kids' activities like soccer. My sons couldn't play soccer out because of COVID, but yet the commissioner, the cash cow for Orange County, was still open, bringing millions of people inside of it. That doesn't make sense to me. That's local government for you. How many businesses were shut down? Churches, gyms, all the above were shut down. People that could never recover still to this day. Now let's add in the fact that you have a commissioner, Nicole Wilson, who's in District 1, is up for re-election this year. She was the individual that said, can't we hold these firefighters accountable and legal and liable if they don't have the shot and cause someone a death?
Right.
Can't we hit them with a wrongful death suit? She's saying this on a public forum.
Yeah.
She's saying this, and then when the county attorney says no, they've got sovereign immunity, and explains it to her. She has a law degree and she doesn't understand this. But then she's caught on camera snapping her fingers with a face that says, darn, yeah, I thought I had them. And this is the kind of people that are in our election. And we've got a union county that's endorsing her over the guy that's running, Sir Austin Arthur. He's a former, he's a believer in God. He's a local entrepreneur. And he's telling you, look, this woman wanted to get you guys for wrongful death suits, and you're endorsing her and not me. And this is the insanity that we have. People are caught up in this sense. And I would love to tell anybody that's listening, an Orange County resident, Austin Arthur is running District 1. We need to put him in. He's a man that's going to fight. He's going to put us back where we need to be. And he's going to be that individual that is going to do these things. And I just plugged him in quick just because it's a huge part of local government. And if we don't have people that are going to do the right thing, they're going to speak up, stop being the silent majority, we're going to see this.
You know, Stephen, as I wind down here, I want to make sure people know we got the show. I know the show, but they got to know when the book's going to drop. And so they got to know how they can follow you there. And so I know you have an Instagram, and that's probably going to be the best way they can stay in touch with you. But also, even just listening to you, Stephen, I just feel like, you know, you kind of need a dose of this every day, right? We need to be reminded of the fight that we're in. I'm not a guy that likes to, I kind of am like the guy that lives in that space. I know not everybody loves to live in that space, but even like you said, even those people that don't, you know, firemen, I know we're talking a lot about firemen today, but my dad used to tell me that a lot of firemen, they used to say this. I remember my dad say a lot of firemen are alpha males. That's what I would heard, right? Like they're alpha males.
Yep.
So I remember when the mandates were coming down, I remember saying this to myself, they mess with the wrong group when they mess with firemen. This is what I thought. Okay.
They did.
And I thought, okay, they're going to stand up. And many did, but many didn't. And I was a little surprised. And, you know, I mean, I know you did. And so part of me goes, there's almost a sleeping,
many didn't.
There's a sleeping lion in a lot of us. Right. And you need to sometimes hear it from a guy like you that's been in the fire. And I think now it's encouraging because you've not only come out on your feet. I'm thinking about in the scriptures where it talks about, you know, the Meshach and Abednego and Radshach going through the fire. And it says something in there, right? And it says when they were in the fire, it says that the guy that's on the outside said there was a fourth one, right? There was somebody else in there with them. And I know that it says alone in the fire, but you and I both know that we're never alone in the fire, right? But we do need community. We do need to know there's people like you that are out there that are standing in the truth. And you said, I think you told me this morning, Stephen, you would do it all again. Right. You would stand up again. You don't regret what you did because you did it with integrity and you did it for the right reasons. And so I want people to be not only encouraged on what you did and what you continue to do. And what is that alpha in them? What is that lion that, you know, I know it's kind of man talk, but I know you're not talking just for men. You're talking women here as well. I know your elf raising elves is men and women, and we need that. And so I just thank you for staying in the fight. You know, and staying, you could have just coasted, right? Wrote it out there and you chose not to. And I know you're thankful for that. So how do they follow you? What's the best way to kind of stay in touch with you? Instagram or what's the best way?
Well, two things. You have, you had mentioned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. That's actually a chapter, part of my book. I actually talk about that story. I believe it's chapter 5. I forget what chapter I wrote it, but I talk about that story in detail and how it applies to my story. So that's funny that you had said that, because it's like, I haven't sent you the book yet, have I?
No. Can't wait to read it.
I haven't published it yet. but it's funny that you mentioned that. But yeah, we have to have strong men and women out there. Being an alpha, raising alphas, you've got to do the right thing. You've got to speak up when things are wrong. And unfortunately, I saw a lot of men and women that did not do that. And it's a little disturbing. It's a little frustrating because being in the fire service and that profession for so long, I'm around people that talk about, you know, not all heroes wear capes, not all heroes, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, just because you're strong enough and brave enough to go into a burning building doesn't make you necessarily a hero. There's other ways of being one, and standing up and leading, being a leader, not a follower, being someone that people can look at and trust, someone that is going to be true to their word. It's a small majority, and it's a little discouraging. I'm hoping that some of the things that I say, and you know, I'm a little brash about it. I'm a little just to the point and direct. You know, I'm disappointed in firemen. I'm disappointed in the cowardice that they've created in the profession, because more of them should be talking. More of them have gotten, more of them should be coming out. So I hope that this is a wake up call for them to stop being cowards, to start talking. They're all concerned about their next 2 weeks' paycheck. I can tell you, you're more than a fireman. If that's the only thing you're worried about, you're more than a fireman. You can do a lot better. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. The profession is amazing, but don't let that be the reason you're not going to talk. Mm. I'm living proof that afterwards, and I dedicated everything to that profession, that you can still do well. And I'm doing very well right now because I've decided to walk away. I put the right shift in my mind to create a different mindset. But people can follow me at Chief Steve Davis on Instagram, Chief Steve Davis on YouTube. I'm on X as well, Chief Steve Davis. It's a kind of a branding thing. I want people to know that I'm still a chief, regardless of whether I'm in the fire service or not at all. I still am someone who leads, not follows. I'm a person that is going to be direct. I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm going to be the one that is going to stand up against what is wrong. When I see something, I say something. I don't hold back. And I want people to know that. But yeah, you can find me there also on the Raising Alphas Project. That's my company. I'm co-founder of the Raising Alphas Project with my partner, David Panzik. You can find us at raisingalphasproject.com. That's our website. And if you're there, you can also follow us on YouTube, Instagram, and all the other socials. So,
well, brother, I'm proud to call you a friend. And I know I looked up to you a lot as you were speaking out in Florida, of course, being here in Florida and just watching you stay in the fight. And it's an honor to have you on. I'm glad not only have you landed on your feet, but you're on a rocket ship and continuing to do that. I know that the platform that God has given you is continuing to grow. Thank you for staying brave. I know there's a devil at every level, right? And the arrows sometimes just get bigger, right? But that's usually a good sign that we're on the right track. And so can't wait for your book to come out. Please, to my listeners, I know it's a little different conversation today in that we talk about health and wellness on this, but this is part of it. Being mentally strong is critical part of it's how you get yourself out of bed to go get the work done. It's how you stand up for the things that we need to stand up for. And so as you're listening to this today, don't miss learn and we love our brother and we are thankful for him, but also don't miss the point. This is for you too, right? You know, what is that alpha in you? What is that lion in you? What is that identity that God's given you? It's more than your profession. It's more than your, you know, title that the world has given you, right? We are here and we are in times that desperately need that. And so get on that train, stay plugged into to Stephen's work, follow him on the properties that he mentioned, and buy his book when it comes out. We appreciate you, man. Love you. God bless. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to Designed to Heal. Always remember that the greatest doctor lives inside of you, and God gave you what you need to be healthy and well. Connect with Dr. Ben at drbenrawl.com or achievewellness.clinic. And please share this podcast with someone who needs to hear it and follow us on Instagram at Designed to Heal Podcast.